big hello and welcome. You're listening to the Palm Springs Savant & Company radio show. I'm Rick Rockhill, your host. And today, our topic is all about guide dogs. It's National Guide Dog Month. September is the month where organizations around the country are looking to raise awareness and raise attention about the cause of guide dogs, what they do for people who don't have the gift of sight. And we're going to talk today about what you can do to help another person change their life through the miracle of independence. So today I'm very pleased to welcome in our studio today as a caller, I should say, on the show is a representative from the Guide Dogs of the Desert right here in Palm Springs. Kim Laidlaw is the director of, marketing and media relations, I think it is. Sorry about that, Kim. Are you with us?
That's okay. I'm with you. Thank you, Rick, for having me on. I'm very pleased to be on the show and talk about this exciting event.
Yep. Sorry. Director of Public Relations. I had that wrong. And also the Deputy Executive Director. So, Kim and I go way back, and here in Palm Springs, the Guide Dogs of the Desert are a very well-respected organization, so it's a thrill for me to have you back on the show again, so thanks for being here.
Thank you.
All right. So, Kim, I think what I'd like to really do is start off for our listeners today to have an understanding about blindness, and just a couple facts, maybe a few things so people understand really what's going on with blindness in America.
Well, you know, a lot of what we see these days are actually what you would call disease-related or age-related blindness. And that is individuals that have diabetes, if it's not under control, it can cause them blindness. Glaucoma can cause blindness. Macular degeneration, an age-related disease, can cause blindness. And cataracts are the main cause of low vision and blindness in the United States. So these are all things that, as an individual, you or I, or anyone else out there listening, should, you know, have their checkups with their eye doctor to make sure that they can, you know, they can keep track of how their vision is doing. And if, but for some reason, it is starting to fail them, they can then take the time earlier to figure out what their next course would want to be, whether they, as in my grandfather's case, he preferred to have a sighted guide, so my grandmother always acted as his guide. There's the ability to have the cane, and then, of course, there's the ability to have the guide dog, which, you know, that in itself, if you have the right match and you're going forward with your guide dog, as one of our graduates have said, with a cane, you know all the obstacles that are in your way. With a guide dog, you don't even know those obstacles existed. So, you know, according to the American Foundation for the Blind, that there are over, or every 7 minutes, someone becomes blind or visually impaired. That's a pretty big number.
Yep, it's startling. I don't think people realize it until they hear that. Or then you start looking around, seeing the number of people who you may run into all the time and start seeing, wow, there's someone who has a visual impairment problem, some legal blindness and such. You maybe didn't, you're not as aware until you start hearing about it. Interesting.
Well, you know, and I think one of the other things too, Rick, is that for those individuals that end up having or going blind, becoming legally blind because of age-related illnesses or diseases, you know, they, unfortunately, people have the stereotype of what blind people should look like, and that's not always the case. You know, people like you or me can be blind, and we don't have any deformity with our eyes.
Sure. I think some of the things you shared were very interesting in terms of age-related, you know, illnesses and so forth. But I also know that there are some challenges today for members of our veterans or active service duty people, right? Can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that? What's happening with some of those individuals?
Well, you know, a lot of our veterans coming back from war. Due to the fact that they've been exposed to explosives or they've been near an explosion, that can actually set off something in the brain that can actually impair your vision. So, you know, our guide dog school and other schools across the country are making sure that, you know, we have the dogs available to give to our veterans in addition to anyone else that needs a guide dog, which is why this fundraising event that takes place every year is so important to us.
Well, you bring up you bring us to a great point. Then I should just stop and share with our listeners about why this is Guide Dog Month and kind of how this all came to be. So a few years ago, you and I had the good fortune of kind of kicking this off with my employer, Natural Balance Pet Foods. Regular listeners of this show know that, but I always like to disclose that up front. And my company, I was still working for Petco at the time, but our company partnered with Petco and originally the Guide Dogs of the Desert. And we did our first Guide Dog Month focus fundraiser in the Southern California area to raise awareness. And what was really exciting and startling was the receptiveness of consumers who were going into Petco stores who were willing to make a donation in any amount, you know, raising, rounding their purchase up at the register to a whole dollar amount, which was just a few, you know, spare change kind of donation to people who would donate $1, $5, $10, $20 at the registers at Petco stores. And we had a lot of success with it. And over the years, that's grown to an annual fundraiser around National Guide Dog Month. It really did become something that Petco has embraced in the last few years in a big way, so that now over 1,100 retail stores at Petco now participate in this during the month of September, where regular shoppers can go in and make that donation at the register. There's also a great way to donate online, where you can go to petco.com/guidedogs, and you can donate right there. The neat thing here is you have people who are in the pet industry, people who have a pet, a dog or a cat or a family pet, and so they know the benefit of a pet in your life and what that can do. And so people who love animals, who shop at Petco, say, you know what, I'd be more than happy to help another person. But I think so many people still don't even realize just how incredible these guide dogs are. And so I want to just have you share with our audience a little bit about, you know, what it takes to train a guide dog and really what goes into it, because it's incredibly impressive.
You know, it really is. I mean, you know, a guide dog is one type of a service animal, and it truly, truly can change the life of an individual. We start, all guide dog schools start with a breeding program so that we can bring to the blind person the best physically and mental dog that we can. And the reason we have a lot of the reason we use our own breeding program is because this is a dog that an individual bonds with, and this is a dog that we hope will be with them working as a guide dog for up to 10 years. And having our own breeding program assures that we know what their lineage is. So that's why we all started using our own breeding program. And then, you know, we have the volunteer puppy raisers who at 12 weeks of age take these cute little fun puppies into their life, and they teach them basic obedience. They love them. They put, in our case, it's a blue jacket that they put on them, and they take them out into the world, and they get them used to all the sights and sounds that are out in this world. That's so important for the guide dog, because when they're matched with a person, they need to be able to be used to trucks going by. They need to be able to be used to, you know, emergency vehicles with their sirens. They have to learn to ignore other dogs that are walking past them. So the socialization part is really important. And without puppy raisers, guide dog schools would have a very difficult time raising and training these guide dogs. And then once the puppies come back to our school, we like to tell the puppy parents that they're coming back to college. It helps to take away the sting of having to give in this puppy that is now perfectly trained in your mind. They work with our licensed trainers, and they then learn to become a guide dog in harness. So our instructors teach them how to work in harness. And There are several phases to the guide dog training program, and the first is getting them to want to wear the harness. And so in order to do that, when the puppies are young, we introduce that jacket to them so they get accustomed to wearing something on their back. The jacket then translates into the harness, and they're not afraid to have something that goes around their chest and that lays on their back. But they're taught then to go from point A to point B by our trainers in a straight line, stopping for anything that might be in their way. They're taught to look for overhangs so that when you're walking, the dog, you know, guides you around a tree branch that might be hanging too low. We teach traffic with them. We teach them how to identify traffic. Although, I must say that going from point A to point B or getting to the grocery store or getting to Starbucks or crossing the street is truly the responsibility of the blind person. These dogs do magnificent things, but they don't know where the store is unless you tell them.
Sure.
You know, so the blind person has some responsibility in this as well.
It's a partnership. It really is between the person, the blind person, and their dog, their guide dog.
It certainly is.
I've had the good fortune in the last few years to spend time with certainly here at the Guide Dogs of the Desert, and through my job, through other guide dog schools around the country who are all accredited by the same IGDF, International Guide Dog Federation group, so the same type of standards and so forth. But I've been so impressed by the things I've seen, by how these dogs, you know, they really can step up and provide direction, and not direction, but keep the person out of harm's way, and their partner is kept safe by their eyes and ears. And these dogs really are heroes in a huge way. When you see a person walking with their guide dog, I think there's some basic rules of etiquette that most people probably are not aware of. And I wanted to just touch on that for a moment, because I think a lot of people just, you know, think that, oh, it's just someone's pet. But a guide dog is really, they're working. And so when that harness is on, that dog should be meddled with. But what are some basic etiquette points you'd share with the group?
Well, that's exactly right, Rick. When you see a person that is walking down the street with their guide dog in harness, that dog is working, and that dog is focused on where it's going. The blind person may have just said to their dog, I'll say Rose forward. And so the dog is then concentrating on going forward, and the dog is concentrating on looking to see what may be in its path that it has to go around. So any disturbance to that team, even by, you know, calling out the person's name, maybe brushing into the person, or trying to put your hand out to touch the dog, you know, that can be life-threatening. I like to use the analogy that, you know, if you're driving the car and your passenger all of a sudden grabs the steering wheel from you, you
right.
become extremely disoriented.
Sure.
And that can really be a life-threatening situation for the team. So we ask that the dog not be interrupted in its work. When they get to a place that they're stopped, if you'd like to chat with the person like you would anybody else, that would be the time to do it. Sometimes people will ask the blind person if their dog can be petted, and oftentimes the blind person might say no, and we shouldn't take that as a bad thing. Perhaps their dog gets a little excited when it sees people, and they really need to keep their dog focused. So it's not that the person's being mean that you can't touch their dog. They just really want to keep their dog in check for the journey that they're currently taking. Other thing that we often, just in talking with a blind person, that we often sometimes forget about is, you know, when you talk to them, you need to say, well, you need to walk 10 feet forward and then make a right and go 10 feet. Sometimes, you know, we talk in a seeing world, and so we say, well, it's right over there to the left.
Mm.
Well, unfortunately, that person doesn't know what right over there to the left is, you know,
sure.
So you really need to give more explicit directions. But it's really important to let the dog focus on their job.
Absolutely. That is a working dog. And even basic etiquette things, of course, just out of respect to the blind person, you know, if you approach a blind person, you need to say things like, you know, you have to identify yourself. You know, this is Rick, and I'm here here from Natural Balance. If it's a work matter, or I'm here. Do you need any assistance? And the person
exactly.
can say, no, I'm fine, thank you. Or they could say, yes, can you just point me in the right direction? Which way is the crosswalk or something, or whatever it may
exactly.
be. And so I think people need – there's some basic etiquette rules that people should follow. And sometimes people think, well, I guess I should talk more loudly. No, usually most blind people don't happen to have the problem hearing. Some people may.
Exactly.
But you don't have to shout at a blind person. You can speak at a normal tone. You just need to identify yourself and ask if they need assistance.
Well, that's exactly right. And offer your hand out to touch theirs when you want to shake their hand. But you're absolutely correct. Although there are some deaf and blind people, the majority of the people that we have worked with are blind, not deaf. So we can talk at a regular tone, regular volume.
Yep. I want to just stop for a moment and share with our audience some information about National Guide Dog Month for a moment, because this year we have – Natural Balance is really happy to have two celebrities who stepped up to help us raise awareness. A few years ago, we had Paula Abdul. Last year, Nicolette Sheridan. This year, very happy to welcome Omar Miller and Eva LaRue, who are some of the stars from the television show CSI Miami. And they have teamed up with Dick Van Patten, the three of them, to raise awareness through a variety of appearances and satellite media tours and some PSAs and so forth. But really, it's their interest in the welfare of the cause of guide dogs and helping blind people is really what attracted them to this. And there's a brief public service message I want to display for a moment, so if we could just take a listen to this. This is a video message, or I should say an audio message, from Omar Miller, Eva LaRue, and Dick Van Patten. Take a listen.
Hi, I'm Eva LaRue.
And I'm Omar Miller from CSI Miami.
And we're here with our very good friend, Dick Van Patten, to ask for your support this September during National Guide Dog Month.
It's estimated that over 10 million Americans are blind or visually impaired. Fortunately, guide dogs can help these individuals remain independent.
And that's why my Natural Balance Pet Foods is so proud to team up with Eva, Omar, and Petco to help guide dog schools be able to place more guide dogs with people who really need them.
You know that it takes over 2 years and $40,000 to train one guide dog. These life-changing guide dogs are then given at no cost to the people who don't have the gift of sight.
All of September, Petco and Natural Balance are raising money for guide dog schools all across the country.
Blindness affects the heroes in our lives, young and old, moms, dads, brothers, sisters, even those who serve our country in the military.
Guide dogs are heroes, too. They provide safe mobility, loving companionship, and they restore the confidence to their handlers.
Help a puppy become a hero. Please make a donation during National Guide Dog Month.
Through the month of September, stop in at your local Petco or visit petco.com to learn how you can help support guide dogs.
Through the gift of a guide dog, together we can make a real difference.
And so that is the message that has gone out to a variety of media groups on the internet and so forth, because we feel passionately about getting the word out to people. You know, it's great when you've got celebrities who lend their time and their talent to raise awareness. CSI Miami is a hit show. A lot of people watch that, so we're thrilled that we have the time and talent of Omar and Eva, who've been so gracious to work with, and Dick Van Patten is having a great time working with them. But it's interesting, this year, we, as part of this the awareness, we had an interesting meeting with an individual who is blind, who lost her sight due to a tumor, a brain tumor. And she was a career woman, and it was very traumatic for her, devastating, Kim, for her to lose her sight, to wake up after some surgery on her brain tumor and to no longer be able to see.
Right.
And this is a person who, by amazing coincidence to this year's celebrity tie-in, she is a CSI crime investigator, or really she's kind of the scientist, you know, in the lab, the crime lab. And so the notion of her not being able to do her work was not one that that she wanted to consider. And so she has a guide dog, and this is actually her second guide dog because it's been a number of years since that happened. But we asked Dr. Cecilia to be part of our public awareness campaign this year because of the obvious tie-in that she's a real-life CSI scientist, and we have two actors who play CSI investigators on a television show. But we're able to tell this great story this year about, you know, people who have real-life situations where a guide dog has helped them return back to the workplace, to return back to the society, and continue to be just as productive and contribute to their own household, supporting the household and the family, as if they hadn't lost their sight, all because of a guide dog. It's an incredible story.
It truly is incredible. Oh, I'm sorry, Rick.
That's all right. There's just many other great stories. So we were thrilled to be able to meet Dr. Cecilia and ask her to participate along with Omar and Eva from CSI, and they together had this really great story. So we're really all about highlighting the people whose lives have been enriched through a guide dog. And so I wanted to just kind of put that in reference because really great things have been happening this year with National Guide Dog Month in terms of raising awareness even further. So just a little sidebar there. But
well, you know,
go ahead, please.
Oh, I just wanted to comment about her, and you know, and that truly was a traumatic situation for her because she did not slowly lose her sight. It was a medical problem that caused it, and she is just remarkable. She's really remarkable in what she's continued to do and how she's continued to work. And you know, oftentimes people think that, you know, that people who have lost their sight just sit home, and that's not true. They contribute very much to the society of the world.
Absolutely. There, the guide dog schools I mentioned earlier, there are accredited guide dog schools. The ones that are accredited by the IGDF that are beneficiaries of National Guide Dog Month, this fundraising event, these are nonprofit schools, just like the Guide Dogs of the Desert here in Palm Springs. There are they follow the protocol, standard protocols on guide dog training and so forth. Generally similar, there may be slight areas of specialty or focus and programs and types of clients that they cater to, but they are nonprofit. And that's a very important distinction here, is that people who are blind, who apply for a guide dog and who go through the program, they get that dog free of charge. And it's an amazing thing because many people could not afford to underwrite the cost themselves. So that's why this fundraising event with National Guide Dog Month is so important, why we're behind this and trying to raise awareness so that these schools, like the Guide Dogs of the Desert here in Palm Springs, like those schools and others, can continue their work. So our goal this year is to raise $1 million, Kim, and we're hoping we can do that together this year.
That's truly amazing, and it makes me smile to think about it, because in doing community outreach and going to some of the low vision conferences that they have, many people think that they can't get a guide dog because they can't afford it, and so once they find out that there is no cost to them, they're immediately on someone's list to get a guide dog. And you know, in our situation, we're a smaller school, and we deal with folks who have multiple disabilities in addition to being blind, meaning maybe they've, you know, lost a limb, or perhaps they have had a stroke and can't use one side of their body. But this just allows for guide dog schools to be able to help and to reach so many more clients, and to really just give that gift of added freedom and independence through the use of a guide dog. I think I can speak for all schools when I say that we are entirely grateful to Natural Balance and Petco for doing this.
Well, thanks for saying that, but having worked for both Petco and currently for Natural Balance, I can tell you that it's really kind of in our DNA. The Petco Foundation is a great organization, the charitable arm of Petco retail stores, but they do a lot of great work for animals and animal causes and people, and the enrichment of animals in people's lives, or I should say the enrichment of people's lives through animals. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a lot – it's all because of the good people who shop and support stores like Petco, who care about their pets and other people's pets. But guide dogs are just one component of the many good things and how animals can make our lives better. And so the kind of care we provide for our animals and how well we take care of them says a lot about our society here in the U.S. But guide dogs themselves are an amazing, really an amazing subset of dogs. And having dogs my whole life, when I meet a guide dog in person, I'm still impressed every single time.
And so am I. I've worked 6 years for this organization, and every time we have a graduation, I cry. And every time I see that partnership and that bond between a blind person and their dog, you know, it's not just that they get them from point A to point B, but this is their companion, this is their friend, this is someone that they love, that is with them 24 hours a day. And, you know, and you're right, each school is a separate 501c3. We all do our own fundraising. And for those folks who are here in the desert listening, we're going to have puppies in training and some guide dog teams out at a variety of Petco stores just to help reinforce what this month is all about.
Great. Now, we should stop for a minute and just to give you a plug for your school. How can people find out more about Guide Dogs of the Desert? Where can they get more information?
Well, they can go to our website, which is gddca.org. For those Facebook users, they can find us on Facebook at Guide Dogs of the Desert. And we also have a retail facility in downtown Palm Springs, which is called the Guide Dog Depot. That also has a Facebook page. It's at 125 Tockwitz. You can stop in, learn about guide dogs, volunteer to be in the store, or volunteer to be a puppy raiser. We're always looking for puppy raisers to help train these magnificent animals.
Fantastic. And for everyone listening, this month, as you know, September 2011, this has got National Guide Dog Month. There's a couple ways you can donate. You can support this. You can go to any local Petco store or even an Unleashed by Petco store if you see one of those in your market. You could donate at the register, any dollar amount, or you can round up your purchase to a whole dollar amount. That's one way. Second way is you can, there's certain specially marked bags of Natural Balance Synergy Dog Formula or Healthy Bones Dog Treats. A portion of the proceeds of those, a dollar from each one, goes to Guide Dog Month as well. So you can do that. Or if it's even easier, if you're a techie person, you want to donate right now, you can go to petco.com/guidedogs, plural, and you can donate online. Now, if you donate in a Petco store this month, you're going to get a great lapel pin, which is yours free with any $20 donation. If you donate on petco.com, there's a really great free, which is a plush guide dog that you can get with a $20 donation on petco.com. So, I first, Kim, before we wrap up, I just want to thank you for your time calling in today. It's great to
My pleasure.
Talk to you again, have you on the show. And for everyone listening, again, just please take a moment. It doesn't take long. Make that donation to National Guide Dog Month. You can make a difference. You can change a life with just the donation that you provide. Will help people who don't have the gift of sight. So please take a moment and make that donation. And if you ever have the notion or the inclination to go in and become a puppy raiser, contact your local guide dog school. You can go on the internet, just Google it and see who's in your community. Certainly here in Palm Springs, the Guide Dogs of the Desert are great. Great group, but there's all over the U.S. you can find a variety. There's at least 13 or 14 or so accredited schools. Check them out and see if you can help make a difference in your part of helping guide dogs through being a puppy raiser. All right. Well, Kim, thanks again, and good luck with National Guide Dog Month. We will see you around town with puppy training, I'm sure.
Yes, you will.
Excellent, and appreciate your help today, and thanks for calling in.
Well, thank you very much.
Everyone else listening today, we'll see you again next time on the Palm Springs Savant and Company.